Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Today's scripture readings are all about choices, and they're about the consequences of those choices. In our first reading from Deuteronomy this morning, we are transported back to the land near Canaan, to the banks of the Jordan River, as Moses speaks to the people he has just walked through the desert with. They had been enslaved by Egyptians, and as we heard in the book of Exodus, after some crazy things like the Nile turning to blood, hail and fire raining down, horrible infestations of locusts and frogs and other creepy crawlies, diseases that affected humans and livestock, and finally the death of firstborn sons. After all of that, the Israelites were finally sent away by the Pharaoh, just to then be chased by the Egyptians. But then they are finally freed from their enslavement and spend time with Moses in the desert, wandering on their way to the land that God has promised them. The book of Deuteronomy is a message to Israel from Moses as they prepare to enter the land that God had promised. This message includes a recalling of what they have lived through to get from Egypt to the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 30, we're getting to the end of Moses' message. And it's a message that is meant to help them, this little band of wanderers, figure out how they are going to now become a community. How are they going to order it? How are they going to order their lives? Moses is trying to help them understand deeply that choosing God, doing as God asks, that is choosing life. And this choice is not just about their own particular lives, but it's also about lives of their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and life for all of the descendants. It's really important to understand that the Israelites had a bit of history in the wilderness that warranted these very direct words from Moses. Throughout their time in the desert, they grumbled and complained about many things. At times, they even said they wished that they were back in Egypt as slaves again. Wandering through the wilderness was frightening, and there were times when they had difficulty trusting Moses and trusting God. At one point, when Moses went up to meet with God and was gone for too long than their comfort would allow, they became afraid. Fear caused them to lose sight of God's way, and they made a golden calf. Think that they could use this calf to worship God, but in the end, they worshiped the idol instead of God. And as author Stephen Matson writes, Instead of worshiping God alone, they created their own physical manifestation of what they wanted God to be, according to their own convenience and perception. Instead of worshiping God, the living, active God that was leading them, instead of banding God for a new God, their mistake was trying to change God into an inaccurate version that accompanied their own personal agendas. Moses has spent a long time reminding the Israelites that God is the only true God, and that following God and choosing life means following God on God's terms, not theirs. And that message is for all of us as well. We heard in Psalm 1 this morning, their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. As many of you know, I spent most of my childhood and young adult life in Phoenix, Arizona. I have driven Interstate 10 between Phoenix and Los Angeles many, many times. And on that road between Phoenix and Los Angeles, there are very few streams and very few trees that have leaves. But there are some. And you can always tell where there is a more reliable water source because that is where there are more trees. They are better able to live nearer a more constant source of water. In the same way that water provides life for these trees, God's word provides life for us. So we are asked to look at the laws and word of God, and to look at the alternative, and to make a choice. Are we going to choose life? Or are we going to choose death? Who wouldn't just jump right up and say, I choose life? And that's where Luke reminds us that it's not as easy a decision as we might think it is. He says, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross cannot be my disciple. None of you can be my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. So after so many verses of hearing words, Jesus' words about loving our fellow humans and all of creation, where does this idea of hate come from? Why is Jesus using that? Why is Jesus saying this in the crowds? So first, hate in this context is not the opposite or absence of love, as we, as English speakers, understand that word to mean. It's actually a verbal tool that's used in a variety of places scripturally to remind people of dichotomies and to remind us, as we read this particular lesson, that being a follower of Christ, we have a primary responsibility to God, the giver of life, the stream that waters the tree. And then from there, we are responsible for all that God has put into our lives to care for. There are times when difficult choices must be made, choices between family and God, relationships and God, possessions and God. And sometimes we will choose rightly, and sometimes we won't. But Jesus speaks these words to invite us all to really, really think about how our relationships, how our life's goals, and how even our possessions affect our faith. And to do this not just once and be done with thinking about it, but to contemplate this on a regular basis and have this be an integral part of our faith lives. In Deuteronomy, with the time that the Israelites spent in the desert as the background, and then in Luke, with the cross lying ahead, it is very clear that living in faith is not, as the saying goes, a walk in the park. When Moses speaks of prosperity, it is not about extravagant lives of leisure. Following God, following Jesus, requires us to go out of our comfort zones so that we might give some relief to those who must live lives of discomfort almost all the time. And this is about as countercultural as it gets in Western modern culture. Moses and Jesus are challenging all of us to choose life and to know priorities, to do our best with the help of God's Holy Spirit to make the right choices as often as we can. Because when we do this, the world becomes a better place for everyone. When we truly choose life, it's not just life for us, but it serves to bring life for all. Jesus' words are extreme, so that we actually stop and really, really think about them. These words are extreme because God and Jesus and Luke, they all know that there are many, many distractions in our world, and that it is so very tempting to hold on to things that seem more tangible, things that we can find comfort in, and to give priority to those over our spiritual lives. But let me tell you what else God knows. God knows that humans will never live up to being able to always put God and Jesus first. God knows that we will still cling to possessions and people who bring us comfort. God knows that we will at times kind of drag our crosses along, but for the most part, we'll likely leave it behind. God knows this because God knows humans. God became human, born of Mary, living in flesh and dying on the cross. It is because God knows this that we can live knowing for ourselves that even when we fail, God will still love us and forgive us our failings. But that doesn't mean that we should stop trying to choose life and put God first. So, my friends, choose life and rely on God to help you grow into all that means as a follower of Christ. Amen.